Oh my god. Okay. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Oh, thank you. The garland that we every day make for Krishna, it's actually like a very important service, because we are making an embrace of flowers for the Lord. It's an amazing service. We are actually embracing Krishna through making the garlands. And then the garland is being offered to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada is giving the garland to us, and it's amazing. It's like Prabhupada directly embracing us. So, thank you. So, it's the first time I'm ever trying to give a Bhagavatam class, and so I request very humbly and respectfully to all the Vaishnavas to please pray for me, to give me your blessings. I really desperately need your blessings, please, and also be tolerant. At least, if you don't get anything out of the class, at least you can learn how to tolerate. So, thank you. Okay. Let us first sit straight, fold our palms, and we can recite this with absorption, because we are going to offer obeisances to the Lord. So it's important to be aware and conscious of what we are doing. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, we are reading from First Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 17. So, please repeat after me. Shrinvatam Svakatha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanam, Ridiyantostya Bhadrani, Vidunoti Shurutsatam. Shrinvatam Svakatha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanam, Vidiyantostoya Bhadrani, Vidunoti Suhrutsatam. Krishna, Vaishnavis, Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna, Shravana Kirtana Antastoya Badrani Vidunoti Sukrutsatam Shinvatam Svakata Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana Vidyantastaya Badrani Vidunoti Sukrutsatam.
Thank you. So, translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul, in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Die. So, messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are non-different from Him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastaka, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound, but unfortunately we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. So how do we get attraction to the holy name of the Lord? Say again. Very nice. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women, and also men, and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotees making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the conduct of women and wealth is not an astonishing, it's not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. So how does one realize his own real position? I'm checking your attention. So how does one realize his real position? Very nice. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Oh my, can we sing it together so that if I make a mistake, we can all, you can all help me. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindhavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I will read the translation one more time. So Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is a Paramatma, super soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So, please remember to pray for me. There is a theme for today that I tried to develop. This theme is dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And I was for a long time actually I was thinking about this sentence, dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And we keep hearing it again and again and again, but do we really know what it really means? Can we really give substance to this very simple sentence, dependence on the mercy of the Lord? And then yesterday I went around and I was asking different devotees, what do you think? What does it come to your mind if I say dependence on the mercy of the Lord? And it was very interesting because everybody gave me a different answer. And then I was realizing how like it's even like I took these two words, dependence and mercy, and dependence. And I was thinking this word is such an ocean. It's so deep. We can speak for months and months and months and for eternity about this concept of dependence, and mercy is the same. And then I was thinking also, it's amazing because this is a sentence from the Bhagavatam, and this is exactly what happens in the whole Bhagavatam. Every single letter is full of substance, and it's like behind every single word there is a whole ocean behind. There is a whole spiritual strength and power. There is the words of Srila Prabhupada behind. And I was thinking, like, what is my position to, like, speak something about such a deep and spiritual topic? And then I was thinking, like, okay, I can't do it. The only thing I can ever try to do is try to become an instrument. So today, like, actually my real examination for myself is to see how much I am able to really understand that I'm not the doer, I'm not the one speaking, but to allow myself to become instrument, and hopefully Prabhupada will say something purifying for myself and for the others. So it's a very vast topic, and I'm very grateful to have developed this, because it really gave me, like, lots of insight and introspection. And so I was thinking of dependence, and the first word that I thought of connecting it to dependence was surrender, because we can't really surrender to someone. We can't really depend on someone if we are not surrendered to the person. And also, like, surrender is an act of love. Yes, there are different nations and conflicts where the winner comes with the guns and says, okay, you know, hands up, and, you know, you lost the battle. Okay, I surrender. It's not that kind of surrender. It's a kind of surrender out of love, you know? And we are lifting up the hands into the sky every morning, and we are just saying, Krishna, I surrender unto your lotus feet. And it's a surrender, like, as a mother is surrendered to the child, completely giving up her own selfish independence and desires and just giving her whole self to the child. And this is an act of love. And so when we really love somebody, that's the time where we can really surrender to that person. And not only that, but when we love someone, we are constantly thinking of the person, almost like in an intoxicated way and in an obsessive way. Whatever we see, whatever experience we feel, everything is related to that person. So can we imagine if we fall in love with Krishna? Everything becomes so transcendental. Everything becomes so spiritual. Whatever we see, whatever we feel, whatever we experience, everything is Krishna conscious. And then we are just striving for his mercy, striving for his presence, for his relationship, to be among him and his devotees, and being among the devotees in order to feel him. Because when we speak about Krishna, Krishna is not different from his words. This is the first step to love Krishna. And actually, this is really the basis of, like, our whole spiritual life, because everything is connected through that. It's like Prabhupada says that, you know, we have different senses, and if we can control the tongue, then we can control all the senses. And I thought it was the same principle. If we love Krishna, then everything else follows up. We can do anything else. We don't need to struggle for anything else, because everything will be so spontaneous and so natural. And even, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, the problem in material life is that we forgot Krishna, and the only solution is that we can remember him. But how can we forget somebody if we love that person? And especially, how can we not remember someone if we love that person? So our whole process is about trying to love this beautiful, divine boy, Krishna, Shyama Sundar. And this is an act of surrender. And so, yeah. So in the verse, we see that Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, in everyone's heart. So Krishna is directly into our heart. And it's amazing how a person who is so close to us, is so difficult for us to love him, and he is actually the one giving us everything. Not even a blade of grass moves without his mercy. And he's giving us everything, like whatever we have in this material world or whatever. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki, Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Shri Shri Gaurani Thai Ki. It's interesting actually to, I was thinking, like, yeah, giving a Bhagavatam class in front of the devotees is already like an amazing thing. And giving a class in front of Srila Prabhupada is even a more amazing thing. And giving class in front of Krishna, that's too much. That's, anyway, well, I'm just an instrument. Krishna is a Paramatma in everyone's heart, and he's the benefactor of the truthful devotee, Suhrut Satam, and cleanses Vidunoti Abhadrani, the desire for material enjoyment, from the devotee. Shinvatam Swa Katha Krishna, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are punya, virtues, in themselves when they are properly heard and sung, Shravan and Kirtanam. So, what can we really learn from this verse? First of all, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is a benefactor of the truthful devotee. So, he's a benefactor. If Krishna is going to do something good for us, only because we are a truthful and sincere devotee, isn't that a big deal? Like, we just need to be sincere, just to be truthful. Like, open our heart to Krishna and say, Krishna, I want to dedicate my life to you. And just that, and Krishna is right here in the heart as Paramatma, listening to us and completely eager to give us everything, any shelter and any guidance in order to allow us to come to the spiritual platform and bring us back to Godhead. So it's like Prabhupada often quotes the example of this huge material ocean. You can be the best swimmer, first-class swimmer, and you can keep swimming. Maybe when you are young, you can still somehow or other make it, but then you have to swim during your diseases and during your old age. We can't manage. We can't swim forever in the material ocean. We need to take shelter of Krishna. And Prabhupada says that when we take shelter of Krishna, this whole material ocean becomes as big as a hoof print of a calf. So it just becomes so easy to cross these material influences and all this conditioning and all these attachments just by surrendering unto Krishna. And like, because if we think about it, like, there are so many anarthas and big disqualifications. You know, we have like envy, lust, pride, illusion, and all these like big demons. Like in the Krishna Leela, we see like how every demon is personified in a demon, and who can defeat them? No demigod, no powerful person, nobody can really defeat them. Only Krishna can defeat them. So the only thing we can do is take shelter of Krishna in order to annihilate this demonic tendency that we have within ourselves. And like to give an example, like even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, these are great, great personalities. And even they were put under the influence of material nature. So what is our position? We little, tiny little jivas, conditioned and weak. And just now we are starting to open our eyes and waking up into spiritual awareness, yeah? And who are we to really be able to fight against Maya? We can't. We just can't. We can try. I mean, we can keep trying, but we can't. Because material energy is Krishna's energy. And we can't deal with it. We need to take shelter of Krishna. And that's the only solution to be able to purify ourselves. And only through purification we can go back to Godhead. So the only way is to depend on the mercy of the Lord. And it's interesting how Krishna's mercy is revealed in many, many, many ways. That's why I was kind of thinking of the word mercy. What does it really mean? you know, mercy. And then I was thinking, the first class, like representation and full potency of mercy of the Lord is Srila Prabhupada. Like Srila Prabhupada is like coming, he's leaving everything in Vrindavan and his heartfelt beloved place, Vrindavan, and he's leaving everything to come to hell and to give us Krishna consciousness. He's giving us the chance to depend on the mercy of the Lord. He's giving us a chance to fall in love with Krishna. Isn't that beautiful? He sacrificed everything and he comes and he gives us the process, the practical way to become Krishna conscious. So for me, like he is the first personification of mercy. And then from him, we can elaborate, like thinking of what did he really give us? You know, what is this process? And the whole process is mercy, because whatever helps us to purify ourselves, to advance, that is mercy. And then I was listening to a class from Radhanath Swami, and he was saying that surrender, dependence on Krishna, means following the instruction of a spiritual master. So what are all our acharyas, not only Srila Prabhupada, but what are all the acharyas constantly telling us? To have a good sadhana, not just a sadhana like a mechanical way, it's a practice that we do with awareness, with consciousness, with absorption. Like when we wake up in the morning, are we preparing ourselves eagerly and thinking, I'm going to see Krishna. Oh my God, I'm going to see Krishna. I'm going to see Radharani. And, you know, we come down and we just listen to the conch shell and we are, you know, like eagerness in our heart and we are just thinking, I'm going to see Krishna. Krishna is going to appear in front of me. But most of the time we don't even realize it. The curtain is open and the whole Mangalarti is finished. And then, oh, Krishna, oh my God, maybe I was still sleeping, or we don't even realize it, or we just think, you know, when is all this going to end? And we are not aware, we are not conscious of what we are doing. We are not aware that during the Arthik, you know, they are offering the five elements that compose the whole universe and our whole self. So while we are offering these things, paraphernalia to Krishna, we are actually offering our whole self to Krishna. So every moment in our spiritual life can be done with awareness and consciousness in order to grasp this mercy and make it like a meditation. Every moment, every thought, every speech, every breath of ourselves should be dedicated as understanding why we are doing this, what are we doing. And also when the fire is coming, we are not just touching the fire, but this fire has been offered to Krishna. By touching this fire, we are getting purified. You know, we can just put it in the mind and think, please Krishna, allow this fire in my mind burning, this mind going all over the places. Allow this mind to just, you know, cool down and take shelter in the lotus feet, in the cooling shade of Lord Nityananda. And also like when we are smelling the flower. It's not just smelling a flower, it's smelling Krishna. It's something amazing. Every moment of our spiritual life, we are doing something completely amazing and we are not aware of it. It's so sad to think we have such a precious jewel in our hand and we are not able to value it. We are not able to understand what we are doing. And so depending on the mercy of the Lord is an active process. It's not a passive process coming to Guru Puja or chanting the rounds in a certain way, in a mechanical way. That's not dependence. That's not surrender. That's mechanical way of doing something. And yeah, we will get some purification out of it. But how many lifetimes do we want to be separated from Krishna? Aren't we eager to just think, You know, we have been away from Krishna for such a long time. Don't we have this desire to like want to go back to Krishna? Or if we don't have this desire, don't we have the desire to desire this? Can't we just pray for it? Like, think, Krishna, I don't have any love and I don't really care to go back to Godhead. Please help me. I'm so conditioned that I don't even have this desire. Allow me to have this desire. So prayer is a very, very active way of surrender. And it's such an important activity, like prayer. Like that's the meditation we should be constantly having within ourselves. And we can see, we can immediately experience it like in a scientific way, that as soon as we go in front of Radha Gopinath and open our heart to him, our heart is completely changed. Our mind is completely changed. Our whole spiritual life is turning. And we are getting solutions. We are getting guidance. And Krishna is speaking from our heart. And it's such a powerful process. We can just try it. And sometimes we think, no, I don't have time for it. Why not? Don't we have time for Krishna? Don't we have time for connecting to Krishna? Don't we have time to surrender and depend unto his mercy? And sometimes it's very normal like to struggle like with sadhana and like me personally, I take shelter of devotees. I beg them to, you know, help me and give me some inspiration. And one time Prahladananda Maharaj, he told me, if you don't wake up for Mangalarti, your whole day has no substance. And I was like, what? I was like, yes, because that's what is giving you the connection to Krishna. That is because you are doing an act of sacrifice for Krishna. You are not thinking of yourself. You are putting yourself into this determination and tapasya and thinking, yes, Krishna, I'm doing this for you. It's an act of love. It's an act of sacrifice, and I'm doing it for you. So this is the first connection we are getting from Krishna. And Prahladananda Maharaj said, that's what gives substance to your whole day. And actually, it's true, because we all experience that when we have a good morning program and a very powerful chanting, focused chanting, and then our whole day is Krishna conscious. Whatever we see, we just immediately connect to Krishna, and we are eager to speak about Krishna. We are eager to not to listen to criticism of devotees. We are looking at Krishna's plate. We are looking at the plate, and we are seeing Krishna in it. We are absorbed in prasadam. It's not just eating to fill our bellies, but or to judge how is the taste, or judge how it's healthy or not. But being absorbed of what we are really doing. This is Krishna, and I'm going to, oh my God, it's Krishna. And Krishna, I'm going to take Krishna within myself. And there is this German philosopher called Feuerbach, and he said, we are what we eat. And yeah, it kind of makes sense, because if we eat something, these elements are going to create our body. And can we imagine by eating prasadam what happens in our body? Our whole body is just transforming into a spiritual, it is getting a transcendental power. So our whole body is like being, there is a transformation happening in our body. And this is such a powerful, powerful thing happening within ourselves. And I was also, so it's worth of, you know, being conscious of what we are doing, but then that's the only way we can depend on the Lord of, on the mercy of the Lord. And I was thinking, like, regarding to prasadam and chanting, and I was thinking, like chanting is also mercy for me. And prasadam is definitely mercy, that's the meaning of prasadam. And then I was thinking, like, chanting is mercy as well, and if we really can try to, like, you know, focus on each word, Hare Krishna, we can almost feel the substance of it. It's not just a word. Behind this word, there is the whole conclusion of the Vedantas and Upanishad, and everything is inside this mantra. So when we are saying Hare Krishna and Rama, there is a whole substance, there is a whole life within it. And then I was connecting it to prasadam, and I was thinking, like, it's like tasting it. We can taste the holy name. It's almost like, you know, Mahalakshmi is cooking some delicious prasadam, and we take it and we put it in the mouth. We close our eyes and feel like, wow, this is delicious. And can we think like that about the holy name? Can we chant and think, this is so sweet, this is so beautiful, this is so blissful, there is so much substance in it. And then Krishna really reveals in our heart. And then we can really feel the purifying effect, and then we can really surrender and depend on Krishna's mercy. So, and also there was another point about sadhana, like, I spoke about a spontaneous love of coming to sadhana, but there is also like a different approach we can have for sadhana, which is humility, trinadapi sunichena. So when we really feel humble, then we don't think, yes, I'm full of love of Krishna, I'm blissful, and I don't really need Mangalarti, I don't really need to chant properly, I don't really need to do devotional service, let everybody serve me. No, when we are really humble, we think, I need to go to Mangalarti, I need to purify myself, I need to chant the holy name of the Lord, I need to try, I need to be focused, I need to pray, I need the blessings of the devotees, and I need the association of devotees who can help me in this process. So this is a humble approach in spiritual life, and we all need this, and because humility is what is actually allowing ourselves to capture something within our heart. Because if we have a cup full of water, or maybe not water, but something filthy inside, how are we going to pour nectar into it? How is this recipient going to catch hold of something valuable like spiritual nectar? It just can't. So, but if we are humble, then there is no water, and the whole cup is filled with nectar. So this is why we require humility. And if we don't have this love for Krishna, at least we can think, Krishna, I'm conditioned, and I'm far away from desiring to love you. I'm far away from behaving properly with the other devotees, or to have a proper consciousness. So please allow me to give me the strength to come to Mangalarti so that I can purify myself. Allow me to chant properly, to, you know, all the process that Srila Prabhupada has been giving us. So we can notice how, like, Prabhupada is the first foundation of mercy. And from him, everything, like, there are all like different type of mercy emanating from him. And every type of mercy that he's giving us is such a deep and valuable oceanic thing. So behind everything, we can, like, even just by taking one aspect of mercy, we can really develop full Krishna consciousness. And this is the power of spirituality. We can become Krishna conscious by surrendering, by becoming dependent on the mercy of the Lord, which is manifesting in so many ways. I'm actually not following anything of what I wrote, but yeah, I think that was actually my kind of goal today. Like, I did a preparation, I wrote down things, but then I thought, you know, who am I to really, like, you know, prepare something on Bhagavatam? You know, like, I prepare something and just, you know, Krishna, please, you know, engage me in your service. Let me be an instrument, and whatever you want me to tell, and, you know, whatever is valuable for my spiritual life, and whatever people might need, you know, let that come out. So that was actually, like, my purpose of this class. And, but, yeah, okay, so let's see. Like, I heard from Sachinandana Swami, like, an example of a tree. If a tree is just growing upwards and the roots are not going downwards, then the first wind that comes will make the tree blow down and fall and crash down to earth. So this is very, like, symbolical, like, to understand that in our spiritual life we need to put deep roots within ourselves and go down, go deep. Otherwise, yeah, we can feel like, yes, I'm a very advanced devotee and I'm growing and growing and growing, and the first little wind is coming, it's just blowing us apart. And whenever we are filled with pride, we are filled with complacency, we are just being crashed down. And also, like, one of the symptoms of pride is that we start criticizing devotees, we start judging devotees because we think we are better than them, or we just think, yes, you know, he did something wrong, then it's my right to criticize this person. But It is said that criticizing a devotee is a mad elephant offense. Can we imagine, like, for years and years, we are cultivating the garden of bhakti with endeavor every day, every day, every day, and then we criticize somebody, and then a mad elephant is coming into this garden and in 1 second destroying everything. Oh, is that a big deal? No. Should we do that? Why can't we control our tongue? As we control our... because the functions of the tongue is vibrating and tasting. So can't we allow the tongue to vibrate as a service for Krishna, engaging the tongue in Krishna's service? Speak about Krishna. There is so much to speak about Krishna. We can't... A lifetime is not enough to speak about Krishna. Where do we have the time to speak about others? Where do we get the time to criticize about others? And it's amazing how, like, if we have a good consciousness, and this consciousness is given by the process Srila Prabhupada gave us, then if we are Krishna conscious because of this process, then our whole mentality will not allow us to criticize anybody, not engage in prajalpa. Prajalpa is referred, like, to the croaking of the frogs. So if a frog is croaking, he thinks he is singing very beautifully, but who is he attracting? He is attracting the snake, the snake of material life, who is just coming to devour him. So do we need to croak? No, we don't need to croak. We can speak about Krishna. We can engage our tongue in Krishna's service. And just by engaging ourselves in Krishna, we are falling more and more in love with him. And we all know how falling in love is such a beautiful experience. We feel energetic and our whole life takes, like, a new awareness, new energy, and we feel enthusiastic. And falling in love with Krishna, that's we can see, like, in the acharyas, in the great devotees, like, what kind of effect it is, like, you know, falling in love with Krishna. And it's And I'm sure it is the most beautiful and blissful experience we could ever experience. And also, like, connecting to the fact of, like, when we are Krishna conscious and we have a kind of, you know, good spiritual life, it's amazing how, like, we Krishna starts giving us many, many realizations, because we can connect everything to Krishna. We can connect a book to Krishna. We can connect the floor to Krishna. We can connect a tree to Krishna. And then realizations are just coming out. Paramatma is constantly speaking to us. Constantly. Krishna is always trying to guide us, speak to us, but we are not able to listen to him. And, wow, it's so late. Okay, and we are not able to, like, listen to him because we are so much covered by material life. And one day I was walking a japa walk, and it was like few weeks ago maybe, and the weather is, you know, like, cold, and there is not so much sunshine. And I was looking at the trees, and I was chanting the mantra, and I was thinking, like, these trees' leaves are falling, you know, this seems to be like dead trees, and this is the period where apparently there is no mercy, and that's what happens to us as well. When there is a period of where we don't have this mercy, we feel like we are dying and becoming dry. But we have to learn something from these trees. These trees keep being alive year after year because they are taking energy and life from within. They are taking life from the roots and from their self. So this is what helps these trees to stay awake, to stay alive, year after year, winter after year. And after, when the period of mercy is coming, then they are blossoming again. So that's what happens to us in the period of hankering, lamentation, suffering, when Krishna is actually, because all these are a different aspect of mercy. It's just Krishna giving us mercy in a different way, maybe in an unexpected way. But Krishna is teaching us, Krishna is giving us something. And we are learning through the difficulties. But when we apparently feel like this is a period where we don't have mercy, then where can we take shelter? If we don't have deep roots, if we didn't go deep into ourselves, how are we going to survive in this period of suffering? We can't. The only way is to take full shelter of the process, to really absorb in it. And also, like, the way of taking shelter, like, sometimes it's just more easier to take shelter of a pure devotee or devotees. We have so many devotees around, and each devotee is such a special soul. Can we imagine, like, every devotee has the chance to chant the Hare Krishna mantra? It's like something like inconceivable. Like, who is so special to get this possibility of chanting the holy name of the Lord? And how can we dare criticize such a person? Even if this person is not behaving properly, who cares? Who are we to judge the person? We don't know anything about the background of the person or why this person is doing it. And anyway, it's not our duty to judge or criticize someone. And so, like, also, like, one last point. Like sometimes, like in this period of, like, you know, suffering, and we might, you know, feel like there are so many troubles in our mind, in our heart, and so many problems one after another, and we are like so much focused inwards, and we are really suffering. And then I was like just a few days ago, actually, I had this experience of you know, opening the computer and watching a video that I wasn't supposed to watch, and it gave me, like, you know, raised me some emotional issues, and I couldn't study anymore. And the next day I had a deadline, and I was in the verge of crying, and I was so frustrated. And then I thought, okay, let me go and speak with Krishna. And then I come to the temple, and there were people here, and then I thought, okay. And then I saw Prabhupada, and I went to Prabhupada, and I said, Prabhupada, this is happening to me. I can't study, and I'm so frustrated, and I was crying and crying. And I said, please, Prabhupada, help me, help me. And then I just go to the ashram, and I open one door, and I see a devotee who is sick. And immediately I was like, oh, okay, let me do something for this devotee. And I started doing something for her, serving her, bringing her something, and doing some healing for her. And I realized that in a second, all my problems vanished in a second. And this devotee, she was saying, thank you, I'm so grateful to you. And I was saying, no, you don't understand. I am grateful to you. I am grateful to you. I was suffering so much, and I come here, and Prabhupada guided everything, made everything possible for me to come here and understand and have the realization that if we are in our mind, if we are bodily identified, we will not solve any problem. We will be in the mind, and we will be in the mental platform, and we will keep suffering. But if we dedicate ourselves to somebody else, if we serve devotees, if we serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, what else do we need? We are not anymore in the mental platform. We are coming to a spiritual platform. And in the spiritual platform, there is no material anxiety. So it was a beautiful experience Prabhupada allowed me to experience, and I just feel like humbly suggesting this to everyone, that if we ever have a problem, let us just go to Srila Prabhupada and open our heart to him, and whatever difficulty or weakness we are having, let us just go to Srila Prabhupada and speak to him. He is so alive. He is there, present, And sometimes, you know, it's not a statue. He is reciprocating to us according to how we are having a relationship to him. So, yeah, we can just depend on his mercy. Like depending on the mercy of the Lord is actually a very simple process. We just have to desire for it. And if we don't have the desire for it, let's pray to have that desire. And then everything will be fine. And then we will be able to depend on the mercy of the Lord. Thank you very much. If you have any corrections, questions, chastisements, or anything, please tell me. Yes. Thank you. Someone else? Oh, just one little comment. I'm very, very happy to give my first Bhagavatam class in front of my mom. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yeah. So there are five elements, and that is ether, fire, air, water, and earth. And in the Vedas and Upanishads, it said that everything in the world is created by that. And it also, like in Ayurveda, like our whole body is like constituted by these five elements. So when we are offering like the aartik, like every single item is connected to one of the elements. So there is the ether, which is a conch shell, and then we have the fire. And then we have the air, and then we have the fire, and then we have the water, and then we have the flower, which is representing the earth. So, like by offering these five elements to Krishna, we are actually offering him. It's because, you know, why are we doing that? You know, this is one of the meanings, definitely. But why are we doing this? You know, because what can we really offer to Krishna? We have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. Nothing belongs to us. And the only thing we can ever think of, you know, offering is to offer everything. You know, the whole universe, Krishna, it's yours, but, you know, let me engage it in your service, and let me offer myself, my whole self, into your service. So, yeah, this is the meaning of, yeah. Air, the incense. Yeah, sorry. Okay, someone else? Five, four, three, two, one. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gaura Premanande.
Haribabu, dear devotees,